Presbyterian Sunday School Hour, where we are continuing to work our way through this book by Brian Borgman and Rob Ventura on spiritual warfare. It's called A Biblical and Balanced Perspective. Last week, Darren took us through the sword of the Spirit in chapter 10. This week, we're going to look at the role of prayer, warfare prayer, in chapter 11. But let's first commit this time to prayer, and then I'll ask you to look at our key passage, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. But let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning in gratitude of the day you've given us, the gorgeous, beautiful day you've given us, the new year that you have given us, the fact that you've given us your word, your promises, your power, but most of all, salvation. And we ask now, Father, that you would clear our minds and hearts of every temporal and inordinate affection, and that through your Spirit, you would teach us. Through your word, you would teach us. And through your power, you would teach us. We commit this time to you. We also pray for the teaching of our children. And pray, Father, for your Spirit to work in their hearts and guide and direct those overseeing them and bless them. And so we commit this morning to you now. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 through 18. This is the passage that we have been studying in great detail about the whole armor of God. And so I'm going to read verses 10 through 18. And as we go through that together, focus on the end and focus on verse 18 in the end of this passage, because that will be the basis of this morning's teaching. Okay, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We're going to look today at the role of prayer. But let's take a quick review of what we just read and what we've studied in the past weeks. In chapters 1 through 4 of this book, we've discussed a balanced view of spiritual warfare. We've looked at the command to be strong in the Lord. That is, our power source is in Christ. The command to put on the full armor of God, and commands to stand and to stand firm. In addition, we've looked at the nature of our conflict. That is what spiritual warfare really is. Not a battle of flesh and blood, but a war we have with spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We have studied a chapter on the schemes of the devil, the father of lies. That's who the devil is, the father of lies, who uses falsehood and deception for the aim of destroying our faith in Christ. And for the past six chapters, we have specifically studied the individual pieces of armor that God provides, which are to be used collectively as a whole to protect and strengthen us spiritually for both applying the gospel in our own lives as well as advancing it in a dark world. Remember, it is the armor of God, the whole armor of God, through the strength of Christ that enables and sustains us to stand, withstand, and stand firm in our spiritual warfare. Now, any thoughts about anything we have studied so far? Is there a particular piece of armor that has challenged you? Or that you need prayer for about that in your own life? Is there anything that we have discussed over the past weeks that builds to this whole command to stand firm that has been a challenge to you? Okay, we're going to look at the main point today, and that is the role of prayer in warfare. We have now come to verse 18 in Ephesians 6, where Paul instructs the actual objective of verse 14, that was to stand firm. Stand therefore. What does verse 18 say? Let's look at it very closely. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. In other words, what he's saying here is this. After having done all to stand firm, that is, having put on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, having taken up the shield of faith, taken the helmet of salvation, and taken the sword of the Spirit, stand therefore praying. Stand therefore praying at all times in the Spirit. In other words, what we're doing as we put on the spiritual armor is preparing to stand praying. This is where we'll be empowered and strengthened by God. Now, it's important to note here that the authors of this book that Paul point out that Paul puts a lot of emphasis on prayer in Ephesians. For example, about 20% of the verses in Ephesians relate to prayer versus about 10% in Romans. But listen to the summary about the role of prayer in spiritual warfare on page 88 of your book, summarized. Prayer is the essence of spiritual warfare, not a seventh piece of armor. It is the Christian's most powerful resource, the most important means for which believers are strengthened by God, because it effectively employs each piece of armor in battle. They go on to say, the armor of God does not consist of literal pieces we can physically put on, but it consists of spiritual truths that the Christian can only appropriate through prayer. Paul is presenting prayer as foundational for the deployment of all other pieces of armor. Think about that word deploy. When you hear deploy, deployment, what comes to your mind? Soldiers, okay. What else? What? Being sent, okay. What else? What? I'm sorry, Denise? A war to fight? When I think about deployment, it's action. It's what enables effective action. If we look, I want to, before we go any farther with this, though, let's look at the elements of before we look at specific elements of warfare prayer. What do you think when you hear the word pray or prayer? What do you know about prayer? It's work. That's a great honest answer. Prayer is laborious at times. It is intense. Why do you say it's work? This is great. You have to plan. You have to appropriate. You have to give of yourself to do that. You schedule a portion of your day, your week, on many occasions, for many occasions, to pray. What else do we know about prayer? That's a real good answer, by the way. Jack? Pray without ceasing. Okay, we're commanded to never stop praying. Libby? It's our connection with God. What else? You're vulnerable when you pray? Why do you say we're vulnerable when we pray? Did you hear that? We're talking with God who knows all of us. What else? Well, I would say that, yes, Matthew. Submission independence, an act of submission independence. Yes. It's also a privilege. It's a gift. It's an honor. It's a great way to spend our time continually. And it's comforting to be able to be vulnerable before our living and holy God. Let's look at some verses about what God says about prayer. Turn to Jeremiah 33:3. Let's look at that together. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Think about that for a minute. The perfecter and creator and giver of our salvation is inviting us to call to him because he wants us to tell us great and mighty things which we do not know. Let's keep going. Let's look at our model in prayer, Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to start reading from 7, but we'll go through 13, and this will include his prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Christ the model shows us how to approach the Father, praying for his will. Listen to this. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When you think about spiritual warfare, is that not what we want? We want to be delivered. We need to pray for deliverance when we're in spiritual battle. We need to pray for God's glory. We need to pray for God's purposes. But we pray for deliverance and for God to act. Okay? Let's look at another. James 5:16. As we pursue righteousness, as the Spirit sanctifies us and makes us more like His Son, we become more righteous. Look at James 5, and look at the result of this in verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So as you're spending your day laboring in prayer, working, when you're making yourself vulnerable before the Lord and asking Him for His help, and by the way, I think that's one of the most key points in prayer, because we recognize our need for Christ. We recognize our brokenness. We recognize our dependence on Him in all things. But when we pursue that, that prayer becomes powerful and effective, and things happen. Just a quick example. Can anybody just give a general example? When you prayed for something and you were overwhelmed by what God did in answer to your prayers, any particular example? Yes. Your brother's salvation. We've all got people in our life that we think it'd be a miracle to see them saved this side of heaven. Is that what you're saying? And God does it. And it just goes to show you how finite we are and how infinite He is. And yet, we think we know. And our unbelief is revealed. I know in my own life, I've got many people that are very angry towards God. They don't want anything to do with Him or Christians. And yet, we're called to pray that God would regenerate them, that God would soften their heart. Okay? Other examples. Yes, Jack. Well, there's no. Well, you know, I think all of us, if we stop and really look back, we can see things where God has surprised us and strengthened our faith through answered prayer. I think one of them is just through our provision. I think we've all had needs before that it was just going to take God working for that to happen, and He does. But let's continue now to look, though. It's specifically the role of prayer, though, in spiritual warfare. Again, in verse 18, if we look at these, considering these general truths we just discussed about prayer, we want to now look specifically at Paul's description in Ephesians 16 for how to pray in spiritual battle. In other words, these are specific instructions that Paul has given us in Ephesians 6:18 to pray in battle, because they activate and deploy the spiritual armor. They are powerful and effective. The first is a general call, though, to both prayer and supplication. Let's look at Philippians 4:16. And on the first four, there's this general command right here in 16 that says this. Excuse me, 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This command applies in spiritual warfare. Because the first thing spiritual warfare, I think, does, or can do, is create anxiety in our hearts. It can create doubt. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to erode and destroy our faith in Christ. So anxiety is a first clue that maybe something we are facing is very involved with spiritual warfare. But let's look at supplication. Specific needs with urgency, for example. When you hear the word supplication, though, what comes to your mind? Supplication. What? Supply. What else? Let me ask you this. When you pray, do you find yourself being very, very specific? Or do you just give God a list of what you need for the day and keep rolling? Well, maybe this. What's your posture towards those prayers? Is it one that I've got to check the list and keep going, or is it one of stopping and examining our own hearts, our own lives, and humbling ourselves before God? You know, supplication means that general prayer requests are not just made to our Father, although He delights in hearing all of this, but specific, intense petitions are presented before the throne of grace in humility with dependence on God's mercy. Think about that for a minute. God, I need a new car is a lot different than God, heal my child. God, heal my child becomes a supplication as opposed to putting a need, a basic need, in front of God. Just by the very nature. That is a supplication. Okay? What are thoughts about that, though? Why is supplication so difficult, Darren? Admission of dependence.
Of dependence.
So
we have no other hope, no other place to go. And so that, to me, that's a part of supplication as opposed to a casual request that you might make of somebody else.
Yeah. This is a great point as we go into prayer being constant. Okay? That's the second point that the authors make in this chapter. In other words, in verse 18, Paul is commanding us to pray at all times. Now, when you hear that, what do you think? Paul's saying, stand firm, praying, with supplication and prayer. Now he's saying, stand firm, praying at all times. What do you think he means by that? Jack?
I think that means being aware at all times that the Spirit
is with you. Okay. The fact that you just even recognize that that power is available to you at all times is very important. But it's a command of mindset, too, to be willing, ready, and able to pray at all times. What else? Look at Luke 18:1. It's a very short verse, but this is Christ's word to his disciples. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. When we have that mindset that the Spirit is with us and we are practicing prayer, even if it's in the middle of a very chaotic period, whatever, we don't have the time to go before a regular spiritual discipline, if you will, of prayer, but we're having to pray immediately, okay? The key point there is, we are called to do that, to not lose heart, to not lose faith in God, to know that we're dependent. But that's a key instruction from Christ. Look at that again. To effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. By praying always, you are guarding your heart. The breastplate of righteousness is actually being activated or deployed, if you will, because it's guarding your heart when you're praying that way. Okay, do you see how prayer and armor works together? Okay? All right, let's look at another. Pray without ceasing. Someone please read Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 17. Who's got that? I know, Jack, you had mentioned that earlier. Can you please get that if anybody else doesn't have it? Thessalonians 5:17. If we think about prayer being constant and always, listen to Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. Pray without hesitation. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is supplication, and prayer is constant. So we're giving specific requests to God, and we're constantly doing it. Okay, but let's look at this now, this question, before we move to the praying in the Spirit, to Darren's point. What do you believe is our real obstacle to prayer in this sense, when you think about praying constantly What do you think about that? Darren hinted it to it, but what do you think? Yes. I'm sorry, Meg, what? Okay, reliance on other things apart from God. What else? You don't know the will of God, so you don't know what to pray. Listen to what they say about this. On page, I think it's page 82, but he says, the authors say this, our real obstacle to frequent and consistent prayer is often our failure to acknowledge, Matthew, our deep need for God or a pressing dependence upon Him. So if we're to pray without ceasing, pray consistently, pray in all things, the prerequisite is our dependence on God. So how can we cultivate a greater dependence on God prior to praying in order to more powerfully and effectively deploy the spiritual armor of God? Yeah. Thanksgiving takes your eyes off yourself. Thanksgiving, you hear that? A spirit of thanksgiving before God is a great place to start. To remind ourselves of our utter dependence and need on God. And it's a, yes, Kathy. No, you go ahead. This is important because in spiritual warfare, you got to remember the objective of the enemy is to divide us away from God, to move us away. And so the more we dwell on His attributes, His character, His goodness, His loving kindness, His faithfulness, the stronger we get in the face of whatever spiritual battle we may be in. And these are great points because we don't take the time to express our gratitude enough to God. And yet we see how foundational it is. Yeah, Paul. Yeah, those are great points. And I think the operative word there is humility. You know, when we see how weak, frail, needy we are, how merciful He is, what He has done for us in salvation and everything in our lives, to recreate us in the image of His Son, to adopt us, to give us eternal life. You know, we see, you know, just the magnificence of God. But let's look at this next point about warfare prayer. There's a call to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. This was something that Darren went through last week regarding the sword of the Spirit. And we're going to look at the power of prayer through the Spirit. I want to look at page 91 in your book, if you've got it. Listen to what this example of praying in the Spirit is. Simply put, in the Spirit means by the help that the Spirit gives. Listen to what they say. The phrase "in the Spirit" expresses the means by which we are to pray, by the help that the Spirit gives. Jude 20 states the same truth. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. To pray in the Spirit is to pray with the help, motivation, guidance, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is praying with a sense of dependence upon Him, the Spirit. We don't always know how we should pray. Sometimes we can get out is a moan, a sigh, or a desperate, "Oh Father, oh God." The Spirit actually intercedes for us, taking our inarticulate and even confused cries to God, and He prays for us. Listen to this example that He gives. He quotes another author by Beek. He illustrates how the Spirit does this in our lives. He says, a small boy was being taught by his father how to steer a ship. As the boy began to steer, his father stood directly behind him. The father knew that if he didn't help his son, the boat would crash on the rocks or be swept away in the swift current. The father did not push the son aside, though telling him it would be better for the father to take the helm. He actually leaned over his son, put his hands upon his son's hands, and then guided his son's hands on the wheel. Through the father's guidance, the son steered the ship to safety. Likewise, we pray best when the Spirit grips our hearts and guides our thoughts, steering us in the course that He has charted for us. It's our submission to the Spirit, but it's the power of the Spirit that makes it so effective. Yes? It brings our lives into the conformity of His Word and His will. And that's what it gives us, the power in the battle against the flesh as He sanctifies us to make us more and more like His Son. Okay, now, one key point here in the Spirit related to last week with when Darren was talking about the sword of the Spirit. We actually wield the sword of the Spirit in prayer when we pray God's Word back to Him. Okay? So we pray Scripture back to God, claiming it for ourselves, claiming it for each other, claiming it for our pastor, our country. We are actually exercising the sword of the Spirit through prayer. Remember, the sword of the Spirit, that sixth piece of armor. And here's prayer that is the active power that deploys and uses it all together. When you pray the Scriptures, you're actually wielding the sword of the Spirit in prayer. Okay, let's look at the last component of verse 18, and that is this. Warfare prayer is watching and persevering. In other words, we're commanded to keep alert with all perseverance. Let's go to Luke again. Chapter 22, and let's look at the words of Christ. Luke 22, verses 39 through 46. Luke 22:39-46. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." When we pray and we're alert and we're diligent and we understand the power of the Spirit, we are actually being strengthened from temptation. It is a guard that reduces anxiety. We cast our fears on God, and His peace overwhelms us. But we're doing that, and you can see the power that in the Spirit, what it does for us. Let's look at page 93. Look at this real quick in the middle. We cannot miss the connection between wielding the sword of the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. One of the powerful ways to pray in the Spirit is actually to use the words that the Spirit inspired. Praying God's words back to Him is a sure way to know we are praying rightly. Not only is this a legitimate matter of praying in the Spirit, but is also wielding the sword of the Spirit in prayer. But listen to this. Learn to plead God's word with Him, praying it back to Him. We see Christ pleading before God. We see Christ's supplication here. And we need to learn to plead before God what it is that's on our hearts. The Holy Spirit must delight when the child of God prays the word to his Father in his power. We do this so that we can be watchful. Being watchful is a crucial part of being a believer. Jesus taught his disciples to watch. Watch, therefore, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Take heed, watch, and pray. This is a huge exhortation from Christ of what our responsibility is. Our actions, our obedience to God, is specifically in prayer. Now, who do we pray for? Let's look quickly. What does verse 18 say who our object of our prayers are? In the first part, we're going to look at this. The first part of this, we'll finish today's class looking at the first part of this. Then Matthew will more specifically take the second half of who we're praying for. But let's look at this now. Who is the object of our prayers?
Saints.
Thank you. The saints. God's people. God's chosen, called people. Or who we are to pray for. Who are the saints specifically? Saved? Saints. Who are they specifically? Okay, those who've accepted Christ. Not just members of our church, but all believers. Where are all these believers? Where? Globally. Where are they globally? Specifically. Geographically. How often do we think about praying for our believers in all these other countries? Just out of curiosity. As you do that. How often do we think about praying for the persecuted church? You know, I get this magazine, The Voice of the Martyrs, and it'll just it'll paralyze you when you read it. When you hear what other people around the world, saints, believers, laboring for Christ, what they're going through, and how key it is. They don't want their circumstances changed. They just want prayer. They want encouragement. Because they know that that's the power for them to be effective where God has placed them. That's what they need. All right, here's one. Future saints. Your brother. There are people that have yet to be regenerated. We need to pray for a revival in our nation. We need to pray for God to work in their hearts to regenerate them. But there are future saints yet to come to Christ. And we'll learn more about the effectiveness of the proclamation of the word and our prayer in that next week. But two more. Individuals in need. We have parents, we have children, we have brothers, we have neighbors, we have co-workers. We pray here as part of our worship. And that worship is characterized to adore God, to confess our sins, to give thanksgiving, and then to make supplication for those in need. And last but not least, leaders. Church leaders, national leaders. We need to pray for all of them. Okay. Any last thoughts or questions before we wrap up? All right, let me close this in prayer. And then next week, Matthew will talk about the proclamation of the word and the role of prayer in that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for just the sharing of thoughts and your work in each of our lives. Thank you for this body. Thank you for what you're doing in us and through us. And we just, again, commit this new year to you and pray that you would glorify yourself in our words, our thoughts, our teaching, and our prayers. Help us, Father, now to understand the role of prayer and its power as we are involved in spiritual warfare. And help us to learn to pray your truth back to ourselves and to encourage one another in it. We just commit this day to you and pray for our worship and pray for the preaching of your word. In your son's name, amen.